Welcome to the Kickstart Your Book Sales Podcast with USA Today bestselling authors Russell Nolte and Monica Leonel, where you'll learn how to supercharge your book sales, go aggressively wide, and take your author career to the next level.
Hi, Nicolette.
Hi, Nicolette. How are you?
Good. How are you guys?
Good.
I'm very excited to talk with you because I've been watching your campaigns for the last like 6 months or so since you joined the accelerator, and I love all of them. So
that's such a huge compliment.
If you want to tell us a little bit about yourself and the campaigns you've run, and then we'll get into some questions.
So I've been indie publishing for almost a decade. It'll be a decade next March. And I'm probably like one of those people that's like just always flown under the radar, like very like not, I've never had like a huge breakout. I've never been like, I guess just never the top, but I've always kind of just been persistent just because I'm stubborn like that. And Jenny was actually the one that did the campaign first, and I was like watching her campaign and I was like, oh my God, this is so cool. Like it actually, her campaign convinced me to read her book for the first time, even though we've been friends for years and years.
Right.
And so I was about to launch a book, a new series, my first campaign. I was about to launch it anyway. And I was like, yeah, why not? Like the book was ready. I was like, I jumped in, I did all you guys' courses and stuff. And then I leaned really heavy into the things that were similar but different than the campaigns you've seen. And then when I did my second one, I kind of iterated on what I had done before, where this was actually a retailer flop, and it's bigger than my first campaign. Because at the time I was too weird, and I realized I just wasn't leaning into the things that made it special and like the right kind of, I learned how to tweak my marketing basically to hit the right targets.
Love this graphic, this single graphic is like me really too. Like it could be so instructive. It's so instructive of like kind of all of the things that like we like you had like the room and the space to like really push in and be like, oh look, I like all of those things.
I actually got this wasn't originally my idea. I saw this on Bookstagram, so like a lot of this stuff, like a lot of the education I've been doing as far as like figuring out targets is really spending a lot of time in reader spaces, and like that's very popular among Bookstagrammers to give you this like really quick like bam 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 bam, here's all the things about this you'll love, and the whole aesthetic of it is something I learned just from like Bookstagrammers and stuff like that. So I can't take, like, I didn't make it up, I can't take credit for that. But yeah, I love it's very effective like in a campaign setting but also in social media settings, because it's like I've had, for this campaign, the last campaign, I did something similar, and it's very good at converting. Like, just the imagery pops really well, and it just really, it says a lot without saying a lot, if that makes sense.
Right. Yeah, I agree with that. And I remember your first campaign, I believe it was a romance between a dragon and, was it a witch? I think no. I got the book. Oh. Maybe an ordinary girl.
Mostly ordinary. Like, it's not necessarily a witch. It's kind of complicated. Yeah, I was going to say normal girl. But yeah, dragon shifter and a person.
And it was so well done. Like, your tagline was killer on that. I know I didn't get it during the campaign because, like, I just back way too many campaigns, so I have to limit myself. I got it. I think I got it after, though, in your backer store. So, it was called Dragon's Deception, but I'm trying to, I don't know if we can pull up the, well, first of all of this art is gorgeous. I don't know if we can pull up the tagline, but it was like, the tagline is what sold me. I think because it was a fake romance or something.
The one that's right above the blurb.
I think the one that's above the blurb was probably, well, I can't, I don't know what it is, but
I think it's right there. Yeah,
this one.
Yeah, it must not be like a specific tagline, but because this tagline is, how could a fake engagement between royals go wrong when one of them is secretly a were-dragon, which is super fun. Kind of like, you know, if you're doing like Theodora Taylor's Universal fantasies.
Yeah.
Like, this is like a lot of butter for me personally. But I think there was something about this campaign where it was like fake romance, it was dragons, it was royalty and a lot of, I write a lot of those tropes too. And I was just like, boom, like this is for me. So I think, and I think that's what the, that's kind of the beauty of Kickstarter, is that you can go deeper into like the specific tropes or butter or whatever you want to call it for people. And it can feel like, wow, this book was like literally created for me versus on a retailer where it's like, I don't think I would have been able to find this book because they don't have a category called like dragon, fake romance, you know, shifter, royalty. Like it, they just don't have that category kind of like anywhere on the site.
Exactly. Yeah, the retailers are very broad stroke. I've realized it's like, it's very, because the way that, just the way the categories break down, it's like, it's dragons, and but dragons encompasses everything from dragon riders to drag, you know, to dragon shifters, and then like, it could be romance or no romance, and there's so much nuance to it. And it's just, I'm finding that readers are very, they have, they'll have very specific tastes, but it's also like a mood thing where it's like, well, maybe I'm just in the mood for adventure, or maybe I'm just in the mood for romance, and it just like, you can't quite do that with retailers the way you can with Kickstarter. There's so much more room to play with just a lot of different angles.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. Go ahead,
Russell. I was just gonna say, like, what I love about this tagline specifically is a lot of authors that when we look at campaigns, they don't bring any of the fun of their books into them. Like they don't like, it looks, it reads like not even marketing copy, because marketing copy can be quite fun. It reads more like a doctoral thesis. And like, I'm always telling people, like, would you want to read this book if like you just read this tagline? And like, not just that, but like a blurb is like very much in the same way. Like if you're reading a blurb, like, do you finish and did you check all of the tropes? Sure. You check technically check all of the like, there's literally nothing wrong with any single word or even how you put them in order. But like, it's just so banal and bland. And it's like, it reads like your teacher or your mom or like somebody who like runs the course that you're in, like told you these are the things you have to put in. And like, what I love is like, it's just so like, it doesn't have any of the things that we say to put, it does, it's not constructed in the way, but it also is everything that we want to see in this thing. Because at the end, as Monica said, like, you're like, well, if there's one thing that I know Monica will buy, like if it's got royals in it, like if it's a royal romance, like you've got Monica. Like,
you do. You have me.
Yeah. So like it's got the fake engagement. It's got the royals. It's got the shifter. Like it's got like, all of this stuff. Yeah. And, like you don't have to put the word shifter. You can just say were-dragon. Like there we go. Like
were-dragon. I was like, I know what that is.
Yeah, exactly.
But I think, I agree what Russ, you know, like only because we see so many titles and subtitles in like all of things, like even like not just in our course, because like people in our course tend to be better at this than people outside of our course. But I think what you do so well on that page and on your newer campaign is that you have the tropes in there, but like you go beyond the tropes, because sometimes we'll see like, we see a lot of cozy mystery ones that are like, an amateur sleuth has to solve a murder mystery, basically. Yeah. And you're like, that is literally the definition of cozy mystery. So you're not like really saying anything new in that if that's like your whole tagline. But I think you've done a good job of like, you didn't say like, it's a young adult dragon romance, dragon shifter romance. Like it doesn't say that anywhere. It actually gives like the conflict and, you know, puts royals in there. And like, I think that that is a part of the success of the campaigns and why, you know, like why they're doing so well is just going beyond that trope, just in the, you know, that's specific to title, subtitle, but I think that can go through, you know, through the whole, you can see that through the whole page and the every part of the campaign. So
yeah,
it feels like a world that I want to live in, and this is not like my like it feels like a world that is lived in and like fun and enjoyable, and like, you know, like I would want to read 100,000 words in that series. Yeah. And that's kind of like the point, right? It's like this page is to sell you that you were going to spend a lot of time with me.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, so we should probably ask these switch back to asking you questions.
You can so just compliment me. That's fine.
Yeah, we just like going on and on. So what do you think have been some of your success factors in addition to some of the things that we've all already talked about?
The first thing when you first asked me to talk was like, visuals was the first thing that came to my mind. Cause like, I look at a lot of their campaigns too. Cause like, I love research. And I think the biggest thing is,
I love your visual right here.
Giving people like eye candy helps a lot, I think, because the campaigns I want to back are the ones that have like, just really like that keep me scrolling the page because there's more to see. And there's been like breaking it up. Like I do a lot of, interplay with like the headings I make, the like the bolded headings that they provide. And I found in this campaign, especially the things that I had visual representation for, they converted so much better as far as like pledges. If I did a flash goal, when I offered an actual like clip of like the audiobook, like the short story audiobook I was doing as a flash goal, that converted so much better than something where I said, hey, I don't have like this coloring page yet, but you'll get a coloring page.
Right.
Did not meet that goal. And it was like same time frame, same, but it was like they if they can see it and they know what they're getting, they're going to be all in. And it makes a huge difference. And the same thing, like something I learned from the course was just like taking all this stuff, piecemealing it out over the length of my campaign, and that it like creating visuals to go with it, like helped like sell it from different angles to my existing audience too. And I think that visuals is huge. And like this, where you're at right now, that's like AR art. That's from a art reader. And it's just it's free. It's free AI art that I could use in the meantime until like I actually commission the actual art. So they still have something to kind of look at and kind of get the vibes and stuff like that.
And I love that you're saying vibes, because like I use it all the time in the course. Like, right. The thing has like the vibes, you know, you want to keep going. Like, look at this, like, just look at this, like you're like, okay, this isn't special edition, but like, what does that even mean?
So
well, it means look at how pretty this like first page looks of these chapters are. Like, look at the world. Like, it's got this like creepy kind of old, almost quality to it. But then like, look at the two characters. It's like, do you want to like watch her fall in like with this person? Do you want her to fall in love with her, with him? Like, yes. But like the visuals, you're like, okay, like I absolutely want to watch, like read a book where like this beautiful person falls in love with this beautiful person.
Yeah, it's so true. Yeah, I agree with that. No, I love that you said that. It's something that nobody has really mentioned so specifically before. But I think, you know, Kickstarter is so much about product. Mm-hmm. So like what you're talking about is really giving them a visual of the product beforehand.
Exactly. And they're very physical focused. Like both my campaigns, it was mostly people backing for physical products. So there, because it's so much more, and it's such a different section of the market, because I think a lot of us are so used to ebook sales where it's like, it's all about fast and cheap. And it's kind of, it's a big pivot from creating the fastest, what is the term I always hear? Minimum viable product. Mm-hmm. And this is very much about creating a luxury product, and you're selling to a luxury customer, and it's a very different mindset. And that's why you kind of have to like finesse it a little bit more and be like, look, this is what, because like this last campaign, the hardcover was $60. So it's like, if they're spending $60, that's a big ask for a book that somebody could buy for $5 an ebook. So it's just like having like the 3D mockups and like the visual things, I think, and also putting more into the quality. Like I just made sure I like, because like Amazon print on demand is great, but the quality paper is not the same as like a hair, like even Ingram has better paper quality than like, and it's just like there's so many little things that you want to make sure you're addressing and like selling the fantasy. It's another butter thing. It's this these people's butter, because it's like to go back to Bookstagram. Special edition hardcovers are really, really popular right now. Like huge authors are selling a single book for like $100 with a couple little add-ons. And it's like, it doesn't just apply to them. It applies to everybody, because all readers love special hardcover, like special books. I was talking to my best friend who's like an avid reader, And she agreed with me. She was like, yeah, she's like, I'll collect my favorite books. I'll collect them over and over and over again, multiple editions, because I love them. And that's kind of what the mindset I'm going into is, like, I may not be like huge on Amazon, but I do have a very core dedicated audience that has followed me over my entire career. And they are the ones that show up day one, and they're the ones that fund me. And then it's like the rest of it's just kind of the discovery process is like, because this one, it was like I had most of my funding on day one, and then like the rest of it was Kickstarter. Because like my fans showed up first day, and the rest of the time it was just like Kickstarter just recommending it, basically.
Could you talk a little bit about the, you said the discovery process, because this is what always freaks me out. No matter how much I fund on day one, I'm always like, but this is all I'm going to fund. And then at the end of the campaign, you're like, oh no, it doubled or tripled from that like first couple days. Do you talk about that a bit?
Yeah. This time I felt a little bit more confident, but there were points where I was like, oh no, this is it. This is as far as I'm going to go. This campaign was a little rough because like I had like 10 cancellations over the duration of the campaign. So it was like more than the first time. But this time I got Project Love. I didn't get it first time. So this time I did get it. And the difference is very stark, because like because I'm very big into data. So I looked a lot at like, okay, where are these people coming from? I had unique like tracking links for my newsletter, for my social media. And it's just like, it was like footer, discovery page, things like that. And it's just, if you do the right things and like you like connect with the community, because I did a lot of swaps too. Like I was big, like I was everywhere. And I think just working within the system, how it's set up, where it's like Kickstarter wants to show people projects that people like. So it's like they are showing, like the more involved you are, the more you're talked about, the more you're driving traffic there. They seem to reciprocate the love, because it was just like I wish I could show you a screenshot, but like my whole dashboard is just like little tiny like sections of like, came, like 10% came from here, 1% came from here. And it was like most, like over half of it this time was from Kickstarter. And it was crazy, because you could just tell they were just pushing it. And I would surf the web and I would see myself popping up all over, because it was just like, they're
like in ads, or like, what do you mean?
No, just like at the footer. Like if you scroll,
searched on Kickstarter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, gotcha.
Yeah, exactly. Like they just, they're good about pushing campaigns that are like tracking well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. We talk about how the Kickstarter algorithm is not as sophisticated as Amazon, but it is still an algorithm, and their job is to people to buy books, and they want to buy books that are popular, and that's why it's so important to in our talk for RAM, and I think for 20 books, and probably moving forward, I have a lot of screenshots about just everywhere Kickstarter will show you, like they show you. When someone backs a project, they show you more projects. When someone send the email that's like, hey, you backed a project, like they send like your invoice, they send they send more things. Like on the pages, they send things. When you scroll to the bottom, they send it. When you're going through like and searching and see the project of the day, this is all of these places that you can be found more. And as you mentioned, like the more you're found, the more options you have to be found, the more often they are pushing you out there, the more you will be found. It's weird like that. The world is weird like that. You know?
Yeah. And I will say that the great thing about Kickstarter, I think that is unique and it's different from Amazon, is because it's finite. The projects are finite. So it's like, even though your project's doing really good, it only lasts for, on average for publishing, it's like a month. So it's like, it's only going to last a month. So it's like, there's more churn, and there's more churn in a good way. Cause it's like Amazon, there's a lot of churn, but it's in a way where it's like, you're constantly fighting to like keep the top spot. And it's like, whoever nowadays it's like, who has the deepest pockets can like pay for the top spot, to stay up there and stay visible through their advertising system. But it's not the same with Kickstarter. Cause it's like, there's I noticed too, like if I was like linked with another campaign that was popular, you get lifted up with that campaign in the same way you do like in AlsoBots. But it's just like as soon as a more popular campaign disappears, you can see yourself surge, because it's like now there's no more, they're not getting the top spot. You're in a higher spot and things like that. So that's nice. It's an advantage because it's so short and you can focus so much more energy on like an intense campaign.
Absolutely. And there's only like even if they are big names that are on the thing, it's usually like five of them compared to like 1,000 of them literally going live. And also I always say, like, yes, if you're competing against Brandon Sanderson, although like I don't think that's an appropriate word, but if you think you're competing against Brandon Sanderson, is it better to compete against like one Brandon Sanderson campaign or literally every book he's ever done and his new campaign? I would much rather only compete with the four books he has on Kickstarter than those books and like all of the other things, plus everyone else's big
all the other people who are as popular as Brandon Sanderson.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and the absolutely. Thing with like a Sanderson is he's bringing more people into the platform, because like right after he did it, a really popular urban fantasy author, Sherilyn Kenyon, came on, and her campaign was not like, not to disparage her, but like it wasn't like as well put together, but she raised like $500,000, and it's like that brings in so many more people that are now familiar with the like how it works. Because like with my first one, my people, like, they never heard of it before, and I could see like I was their first campaign they ever backed. And it's like the more people get in the system and the more book readers there are, the better it is for everybody. So it's like I don't really even think like Sanderson or the more popular ones are like we're competing, because it's like you were saying earlier, like it's like, oh, I only have so much money for this, but it's like every book reader ever has more money for other books. It's like you have like how much you're willing to spend on your favorite, but then it's like you also have this like secret like fund of like, oh, this is for the new discovery, the books I just found. And it's like the more people on the platform, the better, and the more it builds, the more it's going to accumulate. I think it accumulates for the whole community, because it is more of a community type platform and less of like let's tear each other down or like compete with each other kind of platform.
Well, and I think competition, like truthfully, competition does not come into play until like way, way more people would have to be on the platform for it to turn into competition. Because I would say like on retailers, specifically Amazon, and specifically like some of the, like maybe like the KU program or some of the programs on there, like competition is real and is creating a real effect there at this point of like really lowering people's incomes or revenue, you know, business revenue. Whereas on Kickstarter, I just don't think that effect is happening yet, because there really just is not enough competition for it to be happening yet, kind of like you said. So I do think we have at least a few years before Kickstarter actually is competitive in that sense, which means this is a great time to like get in and start building your audience.
Absolutely. So tell us where you can find your books, give us a last piece of advice, and then we'll say our goodbyes.
Okay. So you can find my books. I'm at nicoletteandrews.com. That's where like I have like a web store and everything up there. And then I'm trying to think last piece of advice. Honestly, I think that just the biggest thing I think people fear about is just keep talking about yourself. Like I replied to one of you it's like this idea that like you're always said it once and you don't need to say it anymore. It's like you just have to keep talking about it. Like you have to keep pitching it, because it's like there's so much noise on social media and online, and like even your newsletter. I see a lot of people that fear talking to their newsletter. They're like, oh, I don't want to bother them, talking to them more than once a month. It's like, just do it weekly. It's for your benefit. Like, keep talking. You can take up space. You're allowed to take up space.
Oh, I love that. Yeah, I love that. That's a great final thought. Well, thank you so much, Nicolette.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for hanging out with Monica and Russell on the Kickstart Your Book Sales podcast. If you found this episode helpful, make sure to visit kickstartyourbooksales.com/free to download our best resources to help supercharge your author career and take it to the next level starting today.